Well, good morning to you all. Today is Sunday, April 15th, 2018. This morning I want to share on cleanse from all unrighteousness. If you'll take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 3. As we have examined from the scriptures last week, we reflected on how God made our salvation sure and sealed. Having this seal, the foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knows those who are His. Well, then, what should our response be to His immeasurable love? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The word manner means what possible sort, from what region, what possible sort of love, what kind of love is this? Well, we know from Ephesians it's measureless, it's boundless, it's fathomless, and it's endless. And the word son, that we should be called the sons of God. The word son is a technon, and there's the hint. It's a son who loves his father back through obedience and steadfastness. That's what manner of love. What possible sort, immeasurable, boundless, fathomless, and endless. From what region? Well, heaven, of course, the kingdom of God. And it's love, it's agape love. It's not the fickle kind of love. You know, we have so many different kinds of love nowadays that's portrayed on the screen for us and shared with us on what is love and what is not loving. But this love is the agape love. A measureless, boundless, fathomless, and endless love. How about loving him back by our obedience? You don't have to live like a refugee, as Tom Petty would say. You don't have to live like a carnal man, a man of the earth. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." The key to our life and our existence is love. Knowing God's love and believing it. That's why the first century church was so powerful and so dynamic. They knew God loved them, and they believed God loved them. When they knew it and believed it, they began to live like men and women who are loved by God. Not worried all the time, not scared half to death. Know it and believe it. Live like someone who is loved by God. Know God loves you, believe God loves you, and live like someone whom God loves. And what should be our response for a Savior like Jesus Christ? Well, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it tells us what kind of a Savior he was. Galatians 1, verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." Why would we want to remain stuck in the world? Back to 1 John chapter 3. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now are we the sons of God. The word "now" means at this moment we are the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." First John 3:3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." This word "pure" is for a moral pureness, not a ceremonial, like the Levitical line. They had to wash their hands before they ate, before they touched things. They had to wash the plates and wash everything down. This hope, and one translation calls the hope an eager expectation. I like that. God does too. He likes our eager expectation. The hope is an anchor for your soul, so your soul doesn't drift away from you. On an anchor, they put what they call a road and a chain. And the chain connects to the anchor, which is metal, and the rope ties around the chain. And what that's for is because when you drop anchor in the wind, it may blow your boat back a little bit. But as soon as the wind ceases, because of the tension from that anchor and that chain and that road, it pulls it right back over it, so you stay centered right over the spot. And the spot we want to stay centered over is the love of God. Sometimes the winds blow in our life and we may not maintain the love of God. We might get frustrated. But as soon as the wind stops blowing, it'll pull us right. If we have that hope, which is an anchor to our soul, it'll move our soul right back over the love of God. It pulls you safely back into place. With an eager expectation, we would want to keep ourselves pure in a moral sense, or blameless would be another way to put it. Pure or blameless. But it's true, as Romans tells us, that all of us have sinned. All mankind has sinned. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's not an excuse for us to be complacent to sin, rather an encouragement to live the love of God to a greater degree, to really make it the anchor of our soul and stay anchored over the love of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." When we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts God hath raised him from the dead, we were born again, and we got the seed of God in Christ in us, and that's eternal life. With all God's blessings in our lives, we should get off the payroll of this world. We don't want the wages of sin. We're not seeking them. We're seeking the blessings of God. They're much more fruitful and a heck of a lot more fun. And then Psalm 103, if you'll go there, verse 14, it says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." God, knowing this ahead of time, sent his only begotten Son to save the world, that through him we might be saved. not be condemned. And the only way off of the payroll of the world, which is the wages of sin, is through Jesus Christ, because our payment is eternal life. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Even Paul was challenged, as every man is. We all are. Romans chapter 7, we'll read starting at verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death or this dead body? One of the things that they used to do, if you were accused of a murder or something like that, they would tie the dead body to you. So wherever you went, that dead body went with you. Who's going to deliver us from this body of death? The old man. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The top reason, number one, is wanting to walk according to the Spirit of God. What a peace, what a joy when we are walking by the Spirit of God. When we sin, which we will do, and all men do, when we sin, God has that covered. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 9, it tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to remember our sins and mark them down on a chart. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Because the Galatians had a problem because they started slipping away from these salient truths from the Word of God. How good God is, how loving God is, how forgiving God is, how kind, how gracious He is. And then all that does is harden your heart. And then the finger pointing starts. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. He writes to them, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. I've heard people talk about this is our grace in Christ to do all these sins. That's not grace. It doesn't take grace. It just takes carnal. It takes a fleshly mind and a fleshly body. That's all it takes. It doesn't take grace. It takes grace to have eternal life. It takes grace to walk by the Spirit of God, which God abounds to us in grace. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And the word gospel is good news. And it's really not good news. It's old, tired out news that you get sick of hearing. Verse 7, which is not another of the same kind, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. The word pervert means to be bent out of shape, so it's no longer useful for what it was designed for. It's like, you know, you get a fork and one of the tines are twisted or bent and you're trying to eat with it. Doesn't work very well. That's perverting the gospel of Christ. So you're talking about Christ, but you're no longer carrying it out the way you should be carrying it out and living it the way you should be living it and getting the benefits you should be getting. It's twisted, it's out of place, it's no longer suitable for what it was designed for. So that I was talking about where people talk about, this is our grace in Christ. And then they talk about some kind of sin or some kind of devilish thing. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other good news unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This word accursed means an offering resulting from a vow, which after being consecrated to a god was hung up on walls or columns of the temple or some other conspicuous place. That would be like going into the Holy of Holies with a portrait of Beelzebub and saying, this would be a great place to hang this. You don't want to do that. That's why I'm so thankful to God. Not only does he forgive our sins, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how the enemy works his way into people's lives. They get started on it. And if you can't get your mind off of it and you can't get your mind changed the way that you were thinking about it, the name of Jesus Christ is there to help you. The light of Christ is there to help you. Command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. It has no right nor place. This is God's dwelling place. It's God in Christ
in you.
That's God's dwelling place. This, you know, there's the adversary has no point, no right to even be peeping in the window, much less getting into the Holy of Holies, the depth of your mind where you hold the Word of God and having his portrait set up there. Don't cover from the unrighteous one. Let the blood of our Redeemer cover you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am commanding you to go. I've been washed in the blood of Christ. He has redeemed me from my sins. And I've been washed clean by the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness or remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, how rich is he in grace?
Very rich.
Well, that's how much we're covered. That's why I say, you know, there's not a sin that we could do that the everlasting arms of God cannot reach us and pull us up and out and set us upon our high places in Christ Jesus again. The price was paid for our redemption by Jesus Christ. How many of you like to keep receiving bills for something you've already paid for? It's not pleasant. It gets rather upsetting. Well, tell the adversary who keeps trying to charge you to stuff the bill, and you know where the sun don't shine. Because the sun has shined all over you and is in you, and we've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That picture of Beelzebub, take it out, throw it in the trash. Don't even soil the trash can, just throw it out and burn it. If you're in this situation, this is the only way out. And that word cleanse means leaving no stain. That there's not any remembrance of it. You know, you can't look at it and say, huh, I still see a spot. I still see the outline of it there. It's gone. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We're not going to get help from the world. You know, there's all these worldly books on how to live life, how to enjoy your marriage, and stuff like that. And if it's not written by a Christian who knows the word, they don't know us. So how can they tell us what we need to do? If the love of God is not enough to motivate us, I don't know what there is on this earth that will motivate us. Why would you choose to be motivated by fear that Jesus would say, I don't know you, or that the Father doesn't want you? Why be motivated by that? When the scriptures tell us that love, the love of God never fails, or as the French translation, the Louis Segond translation, is love is eternal. It has no end. It's measureless. It's boundless. It's fathomless, and it's endless. That love is there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. And then Galatians 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof, with the affections and lusts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. It's corrupt. The old man is corrupt. Even the old man is not going to help you. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it tells us, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, which is the love of God, peace with all them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, an undefiled heart. Doesn't have any of this admixture. The way to get out is feed your faith and starve your fears. You might be afraid, but starve your fears. Don't give them any time. They eat up time. That's what they digest. That's what they eat up and digest, is your time and your life. Feed your faith and starve your fears. There's a reckoning in Luke 15, often called the prodigal son. Prodigal meaning extravagant and wasteful. But really, the story is about a loving father. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Starting in verse 11. And he said, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he, the father, divided up them his living. In the biblical culture, when your sons became a certain age, you gave them part of their inheritance so that they could get started in life, whether if they wanted to get married, so that they can build an apartment on the house or the house of her parents. Usually you spend 6 months there, and then you spend 6 months with your parents, the male Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Some of us know what that is. Belly up to the bar, drinks are on me tonight. Well, I don't know what the falling out was between the younger son and his father, but he took everything that he learned and earned from his father, he went and spent on the world, wasted it on the world. And then he went into a far country. I can't wait. As soon as I graduate from high school, I'm out of here. The farther, the better. Maybe I'll go out to California and get my head together. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. There's all your charity programs. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father is full of compassion. In the Hebrew construction, it's called the wa construction, where two words are joined together by a mark, and that mark links those words together, and you can't separate those words. So when it comes to the father, how much compassion did he have? Full compassion. You can't separate it. It's always full compassion. Pigs belong in pens. Sons belong at home. Excuse me. Pigs belong in pens. Sons belong at home. The father saw his son while he was still a long way off. He was always waiting for him to come home. God doesn't practice tough love. I gave you enough. Get the heck out of here. I'm not going to give you another nickel. You're written out of my will. I sign all of my books. Be good to God. He is always good to us. Verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring thither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. God would like us to endear ourselves to him. Matthew 24, verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We are to stay white hot on the word and love the brethren and love one another. Well, bless your hearts. Father, thank you for your wonderful word and for revealing yourself to us so clearly and so wonderfully, that you are loving, you are a God of grace, you are a God of mercy and a tender, loving Father who's always watching out for us. Thank you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.